Hey, you're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. 7 of Seattle's city council positions are up for election this year. 4 of them are open seats because Kashama Sawant, Lisa Herbold, Alex Peterson, and Deborah Juarez have said they are not running for re-election. That's a lot of seats, and it's bringing out the hopefuls. Already, 34 candidates are in the running. There's a constant stream of announcements in the newspaper and on social media from community leaders, business owners, and, yeah, some people you've probably never heard of before. And the field is far from set. We don't know yet everyone who will run or who will drop out before the primary in August. You heard that right. It's 5 months from now. Perhaps hearing this, you're thinking, maybe I'll give politics a shot. I mean, everybody else is. Well, how do you get started? What are the things you need to think about early on? Soundside producer Hans Anderson set out to discover how candidates can stand out in an already crowded field. Hi, Hans.
Hey, Libby.
Okay, so you talked to some political consultants in Seattle. What did they make of the current state of these Seattle City Council races?
Okay, so this is not breaking news at all, but general feedback I heard is that there's just a lot of people running for city council.
And it's only March. Filing week is still a couple months away.
That's Sefriana Day, a political consultant and the founder of Upper Left Strategies. They help political campaigns across Washington State, and they're based here in Seattle.
We're just seeing more and more candidates really feel like they can do it. It's accessible, which I think is great.
Sefriana also brings up that the amount of city council candidates might also signal a desire for change right now.
We're still facing some of the same big issues that we were facing 4 or 5 years ago, like homelessness, like public safety, like affordable housing. They're pretty much at crisis levels. And I think that people are basically saying that our city council is not doing enough.
A lot of people might be thinking that. I'm almost afraid to say an exact number because we rebroadcast Soundside at 8 p.m. and this may be out of date by then, but there are around 34 candidates vying for 7 city council seats. And we certainly could see more candidates jump in the race.
Okay, so there's a lot of interest. It's a crowded field. Probably more people are entering at this very moment while I'm talking to you. What does a hopeful candidate need to do right off the bat?
Okay, so a lot of the advice was not particularly sexy, but it's key stuff that has to get done. You know, that's like getting an email list together to solicit donations, launching your social media accounts, like getting your Facebook up, ensuring your website is functional so it can receive donations. And then, of course, there's the press release. Here's Raven Tyler, a political consultant at Northwest Passage Consulting.
Absolutely do the press release. That is still important, especially in Seattle races, because you're getting a lot of news coverage. We have a lot of open seats. And so right now it's really newsworthy announcing. So you want to make sure your press release is top notch. Everything looks good. And you're sending it to the right people on a press list.
So there's all these less exciting communication tasks, and you don't necessarily need a political consultant or communications expert to do these tasks. You can rely on volunteers or you can do it yourself. But elections are also kind of complicated, so you might need someone to manage finances and your filings.
Yes, consultants are amazing to have, but before you get a consultant, you need to get a compliance person. Compliance matters, and the PDC will get you.
And that's the Public Disclosure Commission, basically a state commission that regulates campaigns in Washington. Think of all the headlines you've seen about election impropriety and disqualifications. You don't want to get on the wrong side of this because it can dog your campaign and even tank it.
Yeah, you have to dot the I's and cross the T's when it comes to donations. Get your paperwork in order. And Hans, you also got excited about democracy vouchers. For those who don't live in Seattle or haven't used democracy vouchers before, what are they again?
Yeah, so democracy vouchers. There's a great episode of the KUOW podcast, Seattle Now, that lays out what these vouchers are, and that's with KUOW's David Hyde. And I'd recommend you listen to it if you want to learn more. But here's just a quick primer. Seattle has this unique way of providing some campaign funding through what are called democracy vouchers. You know, residents pay for these vouchers and their property taxes. The money is redistributed to Seattleites in the form of vouchers that they receive in the mail, which look kind of like coupons. So you like receive this letter in the mail. Here's mine. I have it with me. It says, use your democracy vouchers for the 2023 elections.
Oh, you're opening it right now.
I'm opening it because this actually came to me like a long time ago and I haven't opened it. So this is my civic duty that I'm doing live on air, which is fun. You know, and it's full of paper. And in it are these coupons that you can now like give, you know, you can write the candidate name, you sign it, you put the date on it, and this is $25 towards their campaign.
They're blue and yellow coupons.
They're blue and yellow coupons. Yeah, it's a nice little letter. And as a voter, I can donate these vouchers to candidates either online or by handing them over to them physically. It's a nice early boost to fund campaigns. But first, candidates have to meet some thresholds in order to be allowed to take these vouchers. So if you run for city council, you need 150 signatures to qualify for these vouchers. Sefriana Day says that qualifying for vouchers is one way to show you're a serious contender for a city council seat.
That's the very first thing. You have to get your signatures. You have to really kind of be that quote unquote viable candidate. And that first milestone is really qualifying for vouchers and committing to using that system.
As Sefriana said earlier, candidates feel like these city council races are winnable. And she cites democracy vouchers as one of the reasons why that's the case. Candidates, if they do the necessary work, can receive money to fund their campaign. And in the grand scheme of things, 150 signatures isn't that much to wrangle, but it does show groundwork and intent to compete. And Sefriana says that when candidates collect democracy vouchers, they're also pushed out into the community.
So people are out. You'll see candidates out at the farmers markets, out at the grocery store, at the light rail station. You'll start seeing candidates out there in the community and really trying to get to know voters, getting those vouchers, but also really trying to understand what issues are most important to the voters, because people that can really kind of hone in on the nuances are going to stand out.
Yeah, it encourages people to be out shaking hands, having those conversations in person. It makes sense. Okay, Hans, so how do you stand out with 34 candidates and counting for these seats on the Seattle City Council? Let's just take District 3 as an example. There are currently 9 folks vying for that seat. How do candidates differentiate themselves from their opponents?
Okay, so now we're getting into the fun stuff, which some people might not think is fun, but I do. Raven Tyler's main advice to a candidate is to find your message early and then hit it over and over and over again.
If you feel like you're repeating yourself as a candidate, you're doing a great job, because you have to keep saying the same things over and over again, and you feel like a broken record. But it, you know, it really takes that much for people to say, oh my goodness, oh, this person, yeah, she's good with X, Y, and Z.
You might bore the political reporters who have to follow you around and see you do your stump speech a million times, but most folks, that they're getting that message for the first time. I mean, it sounds effective and like a real grind for the candidate who has to be repeating themselves over and over and over again. How do you figure out what to repeat, though, Hans? Where does the most effective message come from?
So Raven brought up that there is certainly the need to incorporate your story or lived experience into your campaign messaging.
Figuring out, like, as a candidate, what are your values? Like, what are the things that you truly value? And then what are your lived experiences? And what have you done, or what would you like to do? And just taking a look at those things and then comparing it to who else is in the race and what do they have going on? And how can I elevate and highlight my values and my lived experience and my, like, actual results, and put that kind of in the forefront?
And it's not just about your own story. You also need to connect with your district. Maybe your platform is about finding lost dogs and cats. But if your district cares more about housing, well, that's going to be a really hard sell. And community support is extremely important. Endorsements can also help. But something that is really interesting to me that both Raven and Sefriana brought up is this idea of the progressive candidate in Seattle. Here's Raven.
Everyone is progressive. And so how do we stand out? And I think, again, with the voters, it's like, okay, you're the most progressive, but show me some results. Like, what did you do that was progressive? Or are we just saying we're progressive because we're in Seattle, which, you know, happens from time to time.
And in Seattle, the politics are further to the left than the country at large, but it's still important to categorize yourself.
I mean, most of the viable candidates for Seattle City Council would be considered politically left in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. But moderates and progressives here have significant differences on policing, housing density, homelessness response, and more. And those disagreements play out in very heated debates during campaigns, Hans.
Right. And the consultants I talk to say it doesn't work to try and play both sides. You have to commit to a path and be clear about your messaging. Sefriana Day from Upper Left Strategy says candidates need to stick to being the progressive or the moderate.
The people that will stand out are those that can really define their lane and stick to it. which doesn't mean you're not learning as you go and kind of adjusting, but it really means kind of identifying your values early. You know, are you the progressive in the race or are you the moderate? And really kind of sticking true to that, because it can be easy to get lost in the middle.
And be ready to deal with the slings and arrows that go along with picking one of those lanes. Mm-hmm. So Hans, now that you've learned all about starting your campaign, I guess my only remaining question is, when are you going to announce your run for Seattle City Council? I mean, would you like to take this opportunity right now to announce?
No, I am going to politely bow out of this race. I've been getting a lot of pressure from people around me, my dad specifically, who thinks I should become a politician.
Yeah.
You know, I learned a lot about how to start a campaign, but I just think that it is really difficult. You know, if you're good at the messaging, you're good at finding your values, and you win the primary, we're talking about campaigning until November. That's standing outside of light rail stations, handing out leaflets, knocking on doors. It is a lot of work.
And asking for money, by the way. That's the number one hassle.
I am extremely non-confrontational. It is not the right job for me. I'm grateful for the people who do it. It's a noble calling, but I will politely decline at this time.
Wow. Huge news for the political world here in Seattle. You heard it here first. Hans Anderson, producer on Soundside, and not a candidate for Seattle City Council. Maybe one of the only folks in town who's not. Thank you, Hans.
Thanks, Libby.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. By the way, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.